I'd certainly encourage anyone who has a substantial portfolio of smaller real estate that they're looking to potentially trade up and get into some higher quality, closer to institutional assets.
You're listening to Alternative Investor Mastermind, where we do a deep dive on alternative investment opportunities and the lifestyle it can create. Join Jack Krupe as he presents actionable tips and tricks in doing passive real estate away from mainstream strategies. Go beyond the usual fix and flips and try less explored yet rewarding investing ventures, from multifamily properties, mobile homes, to cryptocurrencies. Do not miss this opportunity to escape traditional assets and finally create wealth without Wall Street. Now your host, Jack.
Hey, everybody. Once again, welcome to an episode of the Alternative Investor Mastermind. Recording this from our new podcast studio. It's not 100% set up yet, but we've actually got some cool swag in the background. We've got the real microphones, and we're going to do a lot of live interviews from here. There's a lot of great entrepreneurs here in Puerto Rico, a lot of great investors who've had great success. So looking forward to that in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, just wanted to record some content and get some content out there. We actually took a few weeks off around the holidays, but want to get more consistent with putting out podcasts again. And it's going to be a pretty exciting year. Today, I want to talk about going from a tired landlord to a retired landlord. So I retired from active landlording in my late 20s. Didn't retire from working by any means, but when I got started, I was, like a lot of investors, I was chasing creative deals. I was doing, trying to find no money down opportunities, did some Subject Two way back in the early 2000s. That's become very popular now for, just because there's so many locked in low interest loans. Back when I started doing Subject Two, it was actually more for properties that were teetering on short sale or foreclosure, but it would make sense to take over, payments for little money out of pocket. So, it's something that, I've done and I think I've learned, certainly learned from my mistakes and learned from, many lessons. And now I just choose not to dive in and operate small real estate. I know a lot of people, the first thing they think is go buy a house, go buy an Airbnb. And I'm going to make the case today that if you're looking to get started, it may not be the optimal solution for you if you're already have a decent net worth or a high paying job. And if you've already been in the game for a long time and you're looking for something different, then I think this is the episode for you. So there's many challenges of active landlording. There's tenants, there's dealing with maintenance people, finding good maintenance people, property taxes, the government changing the rules or not enforcing the rule of law and not evicting during the timeframes that are published. In that, multifamily and syndications are not always immune to that as well. I know, we've had some issues and some of, a number of investors are having issues in Atlanta where, evictions published were 60 days and you get your judgment and then you cannot enforce your writ or get them served or get the sheriff or the, to remove them for like 6 or 9 months. So it's basically a hidden tax where the government is just sort of forcing landlords to eat it and let people live for free as opposed to evicting. And that actually hurts the housing market in general, because in an area where there's lack of supply, you're actually holding apartments that people that are actually working and paying could have access to. And what it's doing is it's going to raise the price of apartments since there's less supply. So don't want to go down a political tangent, but it's been something we've seen that's been a challenge and that's been frustrating. So I've lived it. When you're doing it yourself, it can get draining both emotionally. If you're doing your own maintenance, it can be done, it can be draining physically as well. And even if you do hire a property management company, I've just found with single families and without an economy of scale, it can be very difficult. It's hard to have a property manager's attention when you have 5, 10, 15 units. Anything below 100 units in general is difficult to have on-site management. So that's 100 units is usually the threshold for a lot greater efficiency. You could have on-site management. It usually supports a full-time maintenance person. And when you do have renovations, you know, if you have, let's say you're going to renovate 5 or 10 units, you can get the attention of a construction company that's got a pretty large project to renovate, as opposed to trying to find someone to show up. That's why I've focused more in the last few years, or really the last 5 or 10 years, on real estate syndications. So, you know, syndication, you know, at the simplest level is, you know, pooling of funds, together to, you know, buy and invest a property together. Generally, these are done through private placements, which is registered with the SEC. So, these are SEC compliant. And, with recent law changes in the last few years, they're typically opened, to accredited investors only. You know, we work our funds through a 506C, which means it's only accredited investors. There is an option called 506B, which allows a limited amount of investors who are not accredited. Most landlords, if you have, you know, a number of properties, the threshold is to have $1 million net worth, without including your primary residence. However, it does include also retirement accounts. So if you're a W-2 or you've had a long corporate career and you have $1 million 401k, you're accredited, regardless of what your income is. If you have a number of rental properties that are, you have equity, you're likely accredited. If you make $300,000 a year combined, if you're married, or $200,000 if you're single, you're accredited. So I think for a great majority, of investors, it's something that, you know, is open to them. And, I've just found that syndications are, you know, a great transition from being an active landlord. Active landlords know real estate, so you know how to analyze deals. And, you know, most actually understand some of the challenges. So you can understand the economy of scale, the ability to get, more efficiency when it comes to both repairs, having maintenance people, property management. And, there's also significant upside as well. If, you know, if you raise the rent by, say, $5,000 per year by raising the rent from $1,000 to $1,500 a month, as an example, or $1,000 to $1,450, so it's even $5,000 a year. At a 5% cap rate, that $5,000 increase in rent may raise the value of a building by over $100,000. Now, on a single family house, it's typically hard to get that kind of rent increase across 50 or 100 units. You could raise the rent by $100,000 across a portfolio of units, and there's large value to be created. Whereas single family, unless you catch a hot market, like you were in, you know, a market that was benefiting from the COVID migration, it's really hard to generate that kind of appreciation, by forcing it. You know, that's, you know, there's gambling and there's being in the right market. But, you know, with syndications, you're typically forcing appreciation through a value add component. Now, you have two choices when you're investing in syndications. You can invest in an individual deal, or you can invest in a diversified fund. There's a number of funds that are, you know, essentially funds of syndications, and a number of benefits there. Number one, reduced risk, both geographic risk, as well as operator risk, because typically there's multiple partners. It's not just, you know, a fund that one person, you know, controls, all the properties. You know, access to expertise. You know, there's someone who's getting the last look at a deal. One of my mentors told me that if you're not the one getting the last look at a deal, someone else is. And often it's not always the highest price. It's the person that they know can close, they know can operate the property effectively. Economies of scale. When you're investing with groups that are in the business full time and deploying larger amounts of money, often there's better deal terms available. Freedom of time. You know, again, I listed a lot of the headaches of being a landlord that we've all lived. You know, when you're in these larger deals, there's a main operating partner and fund manager, and these people are spending full time operating this asset. So that leaves you the time, the flexibility, and the freedom to not be getting that phone call about a clogged toilet at 2 a.m. Limited liability. When you invest into funds or syndications, you are a limited partner. So if somebody slips on the sidewalk, you don't have that liability. You don't have to worry about that asset protection. Liquidity potential. real estate in general is certainly not considered a liquid asset. It's not like a stock where you press a button and sell. However, there are two types of funds. There are open-ended and closed-ended. I will say a majority of funds, at least, in this industry, I would say are closed-ended. You get into it, you're in for 3 to 7 years, and there's an exit timing. And in many funds, you're not in the whole time because some assets may sell in year two or three, some assets may sell in year four. So typically when you start with a sum of money, you may have half your money back in 3 or 4 years. And by year 5, 6, or 7, you have all your money back and you're still getting profits, even though your money's already been back in your pocket. And, lastly, there's significant tax benefits. In many cases, better tax benefits than owning single family. I think we've covered this in depth on another episode. We had a cost segregation expert from Madison Specs, and we did a deep dive into cost segregation. But the simple explanation is these larger syndication projects, you could take a greater percentage of depreciation year one by accelerating the depreciation. So if you're a tired landlord and you own a bunch of houses free and clear and you're paying taxes on those rents because you have no depreciation left, investing in a syndication can actually cut your tax bill significantly. And if you really plan it properly, what you can do is you could actually 1031 exchange one or more of your properties into a larger apartment complex or an industrial building or a mobile home park. There are a lot of ways to actually sell your assets, defer all of your taxes, and be invested in a larger project with professional operators that that are looking for capital. So I'd certainly encourage anyone who has a substantial portfolio of smaller real estate that they're looking to potentially trade up and get into some higher quality, closer to institutional assets and save on taxes and be a little bit more passive or completely passive, should definitely have some conversations. So ultimately, if you're a retired landlord and want to be a retired landlord, I think passive investing into syndications, into real estate funds is a great way to break free from the day-to-day stresses and workload of being a landlord. And whether it's through an individual deal or through a diversified fund or through a 1031 exchange, it's a great way to improve your lifestyle, take that next step towards retirement. So hopefully this was helpful. Would encourage anyone to please reach out to us directly. And then if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Connect with us on all major social media. We're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Instagram. We have a TikTok account. And reach out if you have any questions. And we are looking for some guests. So if you're interested in being on the show, feel free to email us. And if there's something interesting to talk about, we'd love to hear investors' stories and figure out together how to navigate the investing market, both in real estate and other alternative assets. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the next show.
That's all for this episode of Alternative Investor Mastermind. Now that you know the many alternative opportunities out there all up for the taking, you can finally become ultra connected and ultra wealthy. Get more valuable advice from the experts by subscribing to the show at alternativeinvestormastermind.com. Become a winner in the world of passive investing today in alternative investment strategies. Thank you for joining us. Until next time.